Oh, hey, Graham. Okay, our next presentation is Improving Ingress Egress Systems on Mobile Equipment. Our presenter is Lydia Coker. She works for the Pittsburgh Mining Research Division of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH. She received a Master's of Science degree in Industrial Engineering from the University of Buffalo. Her primary area of study is musculoskeletal injury prevention, primarily related to slips, trips, or falls. How about a warm welcome for Lydia?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for sticking around for this. If you notice in the program, it'll actually say that Mahiar is here, but he is not. I am here instead of him today. And thank you for the introduction. I am a research engineer at NIOSH, to kind of explain what that was. And today, I will actually be talking about improving ingress and egress systems on mobile equipment. All right, so the first question you might have is, what is an ingress-egress system? So we are defining it as, for ingress, the action is getting onto the equipment. So the ingress system would be anything that goes from the ground to the cab of the equipment, anything you would come into contact with. So ladders, steps, platforms, handrails, anything like that. And then egress is the exact opposite. So it's anything going from the cab of the truck back down to the ground. That is the action of it. And then the system are all of those pieces to get down there. So again, ladders, platforms, everything. All right, so it's also called improving ingress egress system. So why do I think that this system needs to be improved? So if we look at some MSHA data, which is from the, as I'm sure some of you know, the 7000-1 form, if we look at all non-fatal injuries in that data source, we can see that 7% of those injuries are actually, they actually occur during ingress egress. So when people are getting on and off the equipment, that's a pretty big chunk of injuries. And if you look at all of the injuries, it's actually the fifth most common time that someone gets hurt. So if you look at where their feet are or something like that during an injury, the fifth most common is when they're getting on or off the equipment. And that equates to about 858 injuries on average per year, which, I mean, it's a ton. And with those injuries, it's about 11 days lost per injury. So if you think about it, 858 injuries at 11 days each, that's a lot of days lost just due to this ingress-egress system, people getting on and off. And so this, again, was from our data. I don't know what kind of happened to that graph there, but I'll explain it. This is from our data. So we looked then at other studies. Have other people found the same things that we have found? And the answer is yes. So if we look at a study here on your left, this one right here, from 2009, it looked at all ingress-egress systems for all mobile equipment and injuries on those systems. So for all falls from the, any kind of mobile equipment system, on average, 50% happened during this ingress-egress. So half of injuries happen during this part of this, the getting on and off. And if we look at a more recent study that also has a longer duration rather than the 2 years we saw here, if we look at this one, this one's just specifically on haul trucks, we can see that this orange category would be ingress-egress, and the blue category is other, that about two-thirds actually happen during ingress and egress on haul trucks. That's when those injuries are happening. So we have our data, and then we also looked at other studies, and we see that this is definitely an area that can be improved. There's a lot of injuries here. So we also looked at, well, what makes mining unique? Why are all these injuries happening on mining mobile equipment? As I'm sure all of you know, mining is definitely unique. First, the equipment is huge. It's very, very large. It takes a lot to get from the ground to the platform. It's not just, you know, three steps or something. A lot of the times there's ladders, there's incline ladders, stairs, platforms, a combination of all of that just to get from the ground to the cab. So there's a lot of different elements to look at. And also, the ground conditions are very harsh in mines. It's not, you know, a smooth paved road or something like that. There's holes, there's ruts, there's large rocks, there's slippery things, mud, sand. There's a little bit of everything. And so because of that ground condition too, people have had, well, manufacturers have had to design around that. So instead of having a fixed ladder, which may be easier to climb, you move into these ladders here with flexible rails. And I'll use flexible rails, flexible rungs interchangeably for this presentation. But excuse me. On this one, you can see that it's a cable. And over here, we have more of a rubber-sided one. And the reason for that, again, I'm sure most of you know, is if you have a fixed ladder and you drive over these rocks, ruts, all of that, it will either bend the steps or, in all honesty, completely rip the ladder off the side of equipment, which is a problem. So this is kind of the newer thing that people are doing. So we wanted to look at that, too, as part of the system, see if that's causing some injuries. So we, again, looked at other people's studies, and we saw that one that was a short duration, and we also saw the one that was specifically on haul trucks. We kind of wanted to add to the story that people were creating. So for this study, we looked specifically at front-end loaders. And in this case, we looked at wheeled front-end loaders and did not include track front-end loaders. And then also, we wanted to look at what specific equipment characteristics may lead to the injury. So for this, we're talking make, model, so that way we can look at how many rungs are on their ladders, how many steps are in their stair set. We wanted to look at everything. All right, so to do this, to answer these questions, we had two main approaches. The first one here is an analysis of the MSHA data. Again, that's from the 7000-1 form, which I kind of talked about earlier. And then we also wanted to talk with equipment operators, because while the data is important to see how other people have been injured, it's even more important to talk to the people that are using the equipment every day. You know, the data at the end of the day is just numbers, but what are people actually thinking about this stuff? So that's kind of what we did. And I'll get into more of each of these. So the MSHA data, again, we looked at the last 20 years of data, and we only included front-end loaders, again, the wheeled front-end loaders. And the reason we picked front-end loaders is because if you look at the injury sources of data, that is the number one piece of equipment that people are getting hurt on. So that's why we chose to look at that one. And in all honesty, because it hasn't been looked at before. So we thought, well, this would be a good area to start. So when we looked at that data, we looked at different things like identify factors that lead to non-fatal injuries. So these kind of factors are, you know, was it a slip? Was it a trip? Was it a fall? Was it, you know, specific types of those things? And I'll get more into that. But we also wanted to look at the location of the operators at the time of the incident. And by location, we don't mean necessarily where they are in the mine, but where were their feet? Were they on a ladder? Were they on stairs? Where were their feet when the injury happened? And then the last thing, which I had touched on a few minutes ago, we want to look at the characteristics of the ingress-egress system, get specific makes and models, and see what is happening on that system, see how it's set up. So what factors led to the injuries? Again, this is like the slips, trips, falls, step-ons, things like that. So we categorized everything into those, and then we tried to narrow it down into subgroups. So to do that, we would then look at the contributing factors. So these are things like contaminants, ground conditions, equipment failure. And then from that, we wanted to even categorize it down even farther to the contributing factor details. So if it was a contaminant, what kind of contaminant was it? And the reason we did this was to get the most specific thing that we can find, so that way we know what specific things need to be fixed or looked at farther, I should say. So for an example to how we went through the system, say we knew someone had a foot slip. So we'd see it was a foot slip. We knew that they slipped because there was a contaminant on the ladder. And then we could also look and say it was specifically water that caused them to slip on this ladder. And then I talked about where on the ladder were their feet. So it could be anything from the ground to the ladder, and then where specific on the ladder. So that first rung, throughout the ladder, and then also, you know, the tire, fender, platform, cab, anything in that ingress-egress system that we talked about. And I should mention, too, how we got these locations. I don't know if anyone has filled out that form, but it has very specific categories. This part, we actually looked at the narrative. So we read what people were reporting is what had happened. And then I had mentioned before we wanted to find out specific details of that equipment. So to do that, we were not necessarily that high tech. We looked on Google, and because it would have the make and model, so we looked it up. And I know a lot of, you know, different makes and models. There, you can get it with a flexible rail stair that's rubber, or you can get a chain, or you can get the cable. We looked to see which one was the most common, and that's what we considered it. And we also looked at manufacturers and dealers' websites as well. And then again, we went through and tried to code everything systematically into categories to try to get the most precise answer as we could. So the type of system, is it an incline ladder, stairs, all of those things that I've talked about. What type of rail is on the bottom rung? So those ones with the flexible rails, are they cable? Are they chain, rubber, or fixed in some cases? And then also the number of stairs or rungs, because that would make a huge difference whether, you know, there were two flexible steps or just one. So that was all of our MSHA data. And as I mentioned, it's important to know what the data has to say, but it's even arguably more important to know what do operators have to say. They're the people that are using this every day. We want to know what they think. So that is what we did. And for this, we interviewed different operators of all different types of mobile equipment. So this one, they weren't necessarily specific to front-end loaders, but you know, they kind of swapped around. They'd operate different equipment on different days. And so some of the questions we would ask them, I've listed some of them, but at what point do you think that falls are likely to occur on the ingress-egress system? You know, where in the system do you think there is an increased risk of hazard? And then also, what are some good and bad practices when getting on and off the equipment? So that would be things like, you know, a good practice would be 3 points of contact, which I'm sure everyone has heard of. And then also maybe some not so good practices or bad practices like jumping or sliding off the end of the ladder, facing the equipment when descending down the ladder, things like that. And then we also asked them what could be done to improve the system. So we worded it as, you know, if you were to go to the manufacturer and request something was changed, what would you like to see changed? What do you think could be better? Or, I guess, alternatively, what do you think works very well and doesn't need to be changed? So then if we look back now at initial questions, we can kind of see, you know, the two pieces that we put together. Again, what factors are contributing to these falls on front-end loaders, and what equipment characteristics specific to the equipment. And our goal by doing this whole systematic approach and everything, our whole goal here is to help to improve the ingress-egress system and make it safer for people that are using this system every day. Try to reduce that 858. So what did we find? The first thing is probably not a big shock to anyone. The egress is more dangerous than ingress. So going down the ladder from the equipment is more dangerous than going up. And actually, if you look at cases of ingress, egress, almost over here on the right, I have a graph, 72% or almost 3/4 of injuries actually happen when people were getting off of the equipment. And one of the primary reasons for that is gravity. So if you're descending down a ladder and you start to slip, because of gravity, it makes it a lot harder to catch yourself. You know, you're more likely to go from a near miss to an actual injury. When you're going up, you know, you have a little more time to try to catch yourself. And this was actually something that we also heard from the operators a lot, that going down the ladder was a lot, they felt it was a lot more dangerous and increased their risk than going up. And one of the reasons that we also heard a lot was that when you're going down the ladder, it's harder to see where you're going, what you're going to be stepping on. You know, are there rocks below you? Are there ruts? What is the step height difference? We heard that a lot, and which kind of leads me into the next thing here, which are the step in or step on injuries. So when people were going down, it was common for them to either step on things or step in things, so step on rocks or step in holes. And so if we actually look, this picture was taken at a fueling station at a mine that we went to, and you can kind of see some of these trip hazards here. You know, we have some rocks, some very large rocks, an uneven surface, hoses, pipes, other things. Those are all, you know, trip hazards. And in this case, they were all in a very small, tight location, and one that an operator would be getting down from the equipment and could easily trip on any of these things. And actually, if you look at the injury data, there are a lot of injuries from these things. And then also on ladders, we have an issue of contaminants. So a contaminant would be anything that makes the ladder, you know, more slippery than what it already is. So the common ones that we heard were water, ice, snow, and mud. And again, this is something that we also heard a lot during the interviews, specifically with water and ice. When we did the interviews, they were in all different types of mines and all different locations. So some of the mines, they experienced harsher winter conditions. So they would say things like, when we got into the cab, the ladder would be one condition. But after working all day, when we go to leave the cab, who knows what the ladder will be like? It could be slippery from the rain that has happened all day and the snow. It could be frozen. It could have gotten muddy from the conditions I was driving in. But we heard that a lot, that was a big area of concern for them. And so I guess the entire point of what we're trying to do here is to find out all of these hazards and then make recommendations to try to eliminate these hazards or at least alleviate them somewhat. So for this contaminants and step-on, step-in injuries, we have a few recommendations here. And some of these are pretty simple to try to implement in your mine sites, and then some of them are more involved. But if we start off here, provide a well-maintained parking area that's free of rocks and ruts. So having the equipment, if possible, park in the same spot at the end of the day every day. So that way, when operators are getting out of the equipment, they know what kind of conditions they'll be getting out onto, because it's the same type of conditions every day. And it's the same ladder step height. Everything is the same. And then also increase lighting around the ingress-egress system. So again, this helps with the visual of knowing where you're stepping, seeing if there are hazards around you before you try to step down from that equipment. And then another one that we heard commonly recommended by the operators was to provide deeper ladder rungs, and then also a non-slip coating on the ladder. So that would be things that, you know, that anti-slip stuff, that's in the back of pickup trucks, like that kind of thing, and putting them on the rungs of the ladder or the handles, the handrails, things like that. And that's something that we had not really thought too much about, but a lot of people were saying it, so it's definitely something that, you know, we want to continue looking into in the future and see what kind of impacts this would have, because it could be a pretty simple solution, or at least help with it. And then also provide shoe cleaning stations on the ground and actually at the top of the equipment as well for when those ladder conditions do change throughout the day. So that way you have an opportunity to clean your boots. And then also it's important to mention that, you know, cleaning your gloves, making sure that there's no oil on your gloves or your hands even, but especially if you're wearing gloves, that there's no oil or ice or water, mud, anything like that, that would also make it more difficult getting on and off the equipment. And then our last one here, this is a kind of more involved one. This would be like building a boarding platform that allows operators to directly enter into the equipment. So if you think about like a tarping station, you know, where you don't even use the ingress-egress system on the mobile equipment. You climb the stairs that are on the boarding station, and then you can enter the equipment directly across, or like a train station or a metro station, something like that. So that was our first set of problems that we found. We also found problems and a lot of injuries related to unexpected movement and equipment failure. So if we look here on the left, kind of a goofy picture, but unexpected movement associated with wind. That was actually a huge area of injury. So, you know, operators would go to get into the equipment on a windy day. They open the cab door, and then the wind grabs the door and pulls it open even farther. So a lot of operators, you know, they've been kind of pulled off the ladder. You could lose your balance, anything like that, just from the wind pulling on the door. And then also equipment failure. And in this case, when we were looking at it, it was kind of hard to tell, because we could tell that the equipment failed. It would say something like, the step broke. That was the one that we heard the most, that a step broke or a rung broke and someone fell. But we're not really sure how in that scenario it failed. We don't know, you know, was it old? Was it bent? We're not sure just from reading the narratives. So for this one, the recommendations are a little bit more difficult, because how do you anticipate the unexpected? It's a little challenging. No one's a fortune or a future reader, hopefully. But one thing that we can recommend is to conduct regular inspections and maintenance, which I'm sure everyone is doing. You know, during your pre-shift, check to see if the ladder rungs are all straight. Make sure they're not bent. Make sure the bolts are, everything seems secure. It seems to be the way that it should be. And by doing that, we're hoping to kind of eliminate some of the equipment failures by just checking on it. And then also, this is one is slightly more involved, but again, going to manufacturers or something and trying to design doors and other movable parts kind of prevent unexpected movement and injuries. So, you know, in the door scenario that I gave you, instead of having a door that will whip all the way open and maybe pull an operator from a ladder, instead having a door that lifts or opens, you know, maybe 45 degrees so the person can get into, well, 90, but so the person can get into the equipment but not necessarily open the door all the way so it can't rip them from the ladder. And then our last area that we found a lot of injuries, which I touched on in the beginning, is the ladders that have the flexible rungs and rails at the bottom. So, as I'm sure most of you at the mine sites know, most equipment now has these flexible rungs because it has to, because of the ground conditions. And so if we look at, over here I have a graph of the different injuries that are happening on the ladder system, we can see that over here in the orange, these are injuries that are happening from the bottom rung of the ladder, so that flexible step that could either be rubber, cable, chain, anything like that. And then in the red, we have the second rung. So that would be the first, in most situations, the first fixed rung, the one that doesn't bend at all. It's attached. And then up here, we have the ground. And so that would be the transition from the ground to that first step that we talked about. And I've kind of highlighted them here by this red shape. You can see that almost half of the injuries are happening through these points, which we are calling transitioning points. It's where the ground or the ladder system is changing. You know, it's going from the ground to that flexible step and then the flexible step to a fixed step. Those are all transitions that the ladder might not behave how the operator is anticipating it to behave. It might move inward, it might sway sideways. They don't really know what's going to happen, and you know, with the chain ones, it might even tilt forward and backward, the ladder rail. So for this one, we had not anticipated that it would be such a big area of injuries, and we saw that these transition spaces are huge for injuries. So we're now doing a lab study. Well, we'll be starting this in the near future. You can kind of see our setup over here on the right, that it has three different ladder systems. So on this one, we have a chain flexible rail, a rubber flexible rail, and also a fixed ladder. And we'll have we'll have people go up and down all three different systems where we measure all sorts of things, muscle activity, things like that, and just to try to see what are the differences in those steps. What kind of physical implications do they have on an operator? But it might take a while for that paper to come out in a publication near you or a trade publication. So in the meantime, don't worry. We do have some recommendations for you. So those include ensuring consistent rung spacing, even for the bottom rung. So we talked about the transition, whereas, say, on a ladder, the transition space is 16 inches per rung. Sometimes, then, depending where the equipment is parked, the spacing from the bottom rung to the ground could actually be as much as 26 inches. So if you're descending down the ladder and you've been expecting 16 inches, then suddenly you have a step that's 26 inches, that's a pretty big gap that maybe someone's not anticipating. It makes it easier to trip on something. So that's one of our recommendations, to try to get it as close to the ladder rung spacing as you can. Also ensure that there are adequate handholds throughout the entire length of the ladder system rather than just at the bottom or the top. Give ladder handholds throughout the entire way so that way you can always maintain that 3 points of contact. Which actually leads me into the next one with the 3 points of contact. When you're going up into the equipment, a lot of time people want to take things with them, you know, your lunch, water bottles, things like that, but also sometimes you have to take things with you, different pieces of equipment. We understand that. So our recommendation for that is to, whenever possible, you know, use a backpack or a shoulder strap. So that way you can keep both hands on the ladder, but you can also take whatever you need to up into the cab with you. And this was a big one that we heard from different equipment operators. And also one that they talked a lot about was the buddy system, where someone would stand on the ground, someone else would climb up the ladder to the first platform or to the cab, and then the person on the ground would actually hand up the equipment or whatever they needed, and then if they needed to also climb up. So that way, the equipment gets up there, but everyone has three points of contact throughout the entire duration of ascending and descending. Oh, and I should mention too with this one that actually we have an infographic coming out, which you should see in a trade publication, hopefully very soon, called Steps to Ladder Safety, which kind of highlights some of these key principles that we're talking about today to try to make it a little safer for people going up and down ladders and try to reduce those numbers. And I know that today you've been, or even this week, you've been bombarded with all sorts of new information and exciting things. So, and even in this presentation, I've definitely given you a lot of information. So one thing I did here was I put all of our key recommendations, the ones that I think are, you know, kind of really important and doable. I tried to compile them all in one printable slide for you. So if you're interested in taking any of these home with you, it's all in one spot. You don't have to have the entire presentation. But I won't read through them again. But I've already mentioned them. But yeah, so you can take them home with you. And then also I mentioned before that we're doing ongoing research. It never stops at NIOSH. We're always researching something. And we are still looking into slips, trips, and falls, and primarily these ladder systems. And so you should see some more stuff coming out from us in the future. But one of the primary things right now we're working on too is I mentioned the operator interviews about the ingress-egress system. Now we want to get into contact with some manufacturers, mine management, and distributors to try to see what their thoughts are on the system. Do people ask about the ingress-egress system when they're purchasing? Is that one of their primary concerns when they're designing equipment? Things like that. So we're trying to get into touch with some more mines to find out more information on that. But any information that we do have, as we're constantly contributing to this big database that we have, we put on this website. Here's a shortcut to our slips, trips, and falls website, which we try to keep updated as often as we can. But if you're interested in other mining information through NIOSH, down here we have a specific website to mining that hopefully you can get some answers that you're looking for. And again, my name is Lydia. If you have any questions about any of it or you want that printable slide or anything, feel free to email me. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And if it is a question that I can't answer or something that I don't personally deal with, I will try to put you into contact with someone at NIOSH who can answer your question or help you out. And I think that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you again for sticking around and listening. Does anyone have any questions? We have not, to my knowledge so far, no. But that is something to consider, for sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a look at that side of the situation, fatigue of the legs and the arms and that side of risks? And then I also want to point out one thing that a lot of us forget about, but mentally we say to ourselves, I'm just going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the biggest warning that someone's going to do something wrong.
Yeah.
Like go down the ladder the wrong way.
Yeah.
So mental training of people to be aware that if they say to themselves, I'm just going to, stop and think again.
Yeah. Yep. That is a great point. And to your first question, for this study so far, we've really only looked at the physical and environment problems, but I think if you stick around the next presentation, we'll start to touch on some of those things. But that's definitely something that is very important, and you're exactly right. You know, there's mentality, you know, I do this every day. I've done it forever, and I've never gotten hurt, but unfortunately, 858 people do every year. So we're trying to, you know, just put some knowledge out there and try to help people out. All right, is that it? All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.